You're listening to 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of KUCI or the University of California at Irvine.
That's music from Lloyd Cole, the song called To the Lions, to kick off this week's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live, at least typically, on the internet at kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. I want to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And, of course, other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our terrific new website at talkinganimals.net. That's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stirring rendition of The Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been the better part of 4 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have a string of terrific guests, including in recent weeks Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson from the Cat and Mouse Club of America. Rat and Mouse Club, sorry. That would have been a wholly different kind of club and much more interesting meetings, perhaps. But anyway, it was the Rat and Mouse Club of America. We also spoke with Catherine Doyle on Elephant Appreciation Day, entirely fitting in that Catherine has been leading the legal battle to return Ruby, the elephant removed from her home and elephant companion of 16 years at the L.A. Zoo, and taken to the Knoxville Zoo. And that's still pending, by the way, and you can check out more about that at saveruby.org. We also had a conversation with Pamela Kerp from Orange County People for Animals, who filled us in all about the OCPA and Pamela's own path to animal advocacy. Last week we spoke with Sherry Hackett, wife of the late Buddy Hackett, both longtime animal lovers who worked tirelessly on behalf of animals in all kinds of ways and shared a vision for a new cage-free, no-kill sanctuary to come called Singita. And our string of great guests continues today when we speak with Corrine Cutler of Bunny Love, wonderful organization that, as the name may suggest, is concerned with all kinds of aspects of the rabbit world, from rescue to education to adoption, which involves Corrine's special knack for rabbit matchmaking, bunny bonding, as it's called in the trade. So we'll hear all about bunny love, including their new digs in Van Nuys, which they're celebrating with an open house this Sunday, when we speak with Corrine in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for a weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals. Not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, observations, and of course, any stories you might have spotted. That would all be most welcome here at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to important or interesting developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international stories of note that seem important to spotlight and, with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. Also, if there are ever news stories or announcements of events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And again, very excited. I want to remind you again about the new Talking Animals website. It's really, really cool. And got archives and synopses of all the shows so far, a bunch of links, text, pictures, other stuff yet to come, some little recorded pieces. So that's talkinganimals.net, .net. So, and also on the on our own website, which hopefully you're listening by way of now, assuming maybe things have been corrected there. But that's a cool website, too, which has the whole schedule, KUCI.org, the whole schedule of the show, the station, CD reviews, list of upcoming guests, and bands playing live on the station. And there's also, I think for a bit longer, I've been told I should mention this and not be shy about it. There's also an essay that we wrote about circus animals that's on the front page of the KUCI.org website. So you might want to check that out. It's up there, I think, a bit longer. So meanwhile, though, let's talk turkey, as it were. Jumping right into this week's animal news. First of all, I want to remind you, as I do almost every week, about Tiger Rescue in Colton, California. It's been in the news off and on for several months. That's the so-called sanctuary where retired tigers and other cats that were in movies and films supposedly went to have a nice post-performance life. Well, anyways, long story short, the facility was totally neglected, as were the animals, and it's the proprietors facing now a string of serious criminal charges. So in the wake of that, a really amazing, cool man named Chuck Tracy has stepped in from a facility he otherwise runs called the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Ramona, California, down by San Diego, to still kind of carry on the day-to-day operations of Tiger Rescue while the legal disposition is being handled, as well as while they're trying to find homes for all these tigers. They have moved some of the cats, but there's still a good 30, 40. So basically, Chuck has been overseeing the operation for several months now, really guiding a battalion of volunteers who come in every day from as far away as, you know, San Diego, Ventura, all, probably parts beyond, certainly parts in between. So I would really, really urge you, if you have any kind of time or you could spare a day, a weekend day, of course, is great, a weekday, they sometimes need, you know, even more help with. Basically, go out and you know, clean the enclosures, help feed and water and look after these cats. There are other animals there as well, but the bulk of the animals there are tigers and other big cats. And it's really cool. It's great work. It's, you know, it's a little hard at times, but I mean, it's really satisfying, really invigorating, and you're helping these animals. And so if you think you could carve out a day or more to do that, please email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and we'll hook you up with those folks. Meanwhile, moving on to a really cool thing, unless there's something that I haven't found out about, but there's a thing called the Animal Rescue Site. It's a website that if you go to it and just click on a button that says Feed an Animal in Need, This releases money for various animal rescue organizations. So it's www.theanimalrescuesite.com. So just go there and click. If you know, I haven't found any catch or any downside to it yet. If you happen to, please let me know right away. But it seems like it's cool, and it just helps great organizations do good work for animals. So what's not to like there? Also coming up, last week, of course, we had Sherry Hackett on talking about, you know, her work with her late husband, Buddy Hackett, but also this Singita Animal Sanctuary that they had this vision for that's going to break ground soon. It's going to be a huge cage-free, no-kill sanctuary in the L.A. area. So one of the ways that they're going to, you know, develop funds to carry forth this vision is with a benefit. They've done a few of these in the past, but this is the first time they'll be doing a comedy benefit where Buddy, you know, has passed away. So that's this Wednesday, October 15th at the El Capitan Theater. And you can find out all about that at singita.org, S-I-N-G-I-T-A. But there's some great comedians, Jay Moore, Paul Rodriguez, Bobcat Goldthwait, Jeffrey Ross, a bunch of people from comics from The Last Comic Standing, Sarah Silverman, Harlan Williams, Don Marrero, hopefully. So it's really, really cool. It's going to be a great, great show for a great cause. So try to check that out if you can. Also, we'll talk more about this momentarily, but Bunny Love folks are having a open house, celebrate their new digs this Sunday, October 19th. It's in Van Nuys. It's 16742 Stagg Street, unit 104 on Van Nuys. And the phone number to call there is 818-988-4488. Of course, you can also check out Bunny Love, BUNNYLUV.org. But there's going to be a cool raffle. There's going to be an animal communicator, a professional pet photographer, lots of great vegan food, all kinds of cool stuff. So we'll find out more about that when we speak with Corrine momentarily. And also, I mentioned this a few times, even though it's not directly in the geographic region where most of our listeners are, but with the online thing, which occasionally, you know, stumbles, but generally we have online listeners, and they're, you know, spreading out, I think, further and further waves. So I wanted to call attention to kind of an important thing that's happening in Philadelphia, actually. But it's, just read it briefly here. There's a tidal wave of change in the animal welfare movement intent on placing every homeless cat and dog in a loving home within the next decade. Many of the leaders of this nationwide movement and 400 concerned individuals will be gathering in Philadelphia later this month for the 6th No More Homeless Pets Conference. The conference, presented by Best Friends Animal Society, will be held Friday, October 24th through Sunday, October 26th at the Radisson Valley Forge. Quote, there's a growing movement across the country to bring an end to the killing of homeless pets, said Michael Mountain, president of Best Friends Animal Society. About 17 million cats and dogs were euthanized nationally in 1987. Now that number is down to under 5 million. We believe we'll reach our goal of ending the killing of pets in animal shelters within the next decade. The conference includes panel discussions and workshops that focus on how individuals, as well as animal welfare professionals, can help launch a No More Homeless Pet program in their own community. How to find good homes for homeless animals, including those one-eyed, three-legged dogs and cats. How to run a successful spay-neuter campaign, get the whole community involved, and raise the funds you need. So you can find out more about that at www.bestfriends.org or call 435-644-2001. And all right, this is now getting to some actual news fresh off the presses. But in this morning's L.A. Times, I read something I found disturbing. Headlined, U.S. seeks looser rules on wild animal imports. It starts off, in a break with long-standing practice, the Bush administration is proposing to permit limited imports of endangered wild animals as hunting trophies and commercial products, potentially ranging from skins for leather handbags to aquarium pets. The policy shift is intended to provide incentives for poor countries to expand established conservation programs with profits from the sale of live animals, as well as parts and trophies, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service animal officials said. The change would not affect endangered species in the United States. In the past, the U.S. government permitted certain species on the verge of extinction abroad to be brought into the United States for research, breeding, and educational purposes, but this would be the first time in the 30-year history of the Endangered Species Act that this country has allowed such animals killed in the wild to be imported. Many conservation groups are intensely opposed to the proposal and express skepticism that allowing increased trade will result in greater preservation. Among their concerns is that expanding legalized exploitation will spur illegal smuggling. Quote, this is an absolutely radical departure from what they've been doing up to this point, said Carol Muffet, Director of International Programs for Defenders of Wildlife, a Washington-based nonprofit conservation group. This would throw open the door to allow imports potentially of any of 500 endangered species. Supporters of increased imports of endangered species include pro-hunting activists, zoological organizations, and countries with endangered species, officials said. Other Western nations permit such trade. I'm not going to read the whole article, but just going to skip down to what I felt was also important part of this. Among the endangered species that officials cite as candidates for import under the proposed policy are the Morillette's crocodile, found off the coast of Mexico, Guatemala, and Belize, whose skin is valued for leather goods. The straight-horned markhoor, a wild goat in Pakistan, prized by sport hunters. And the Asian bony tongue, a tropical freshwater fish native to Southeast Asia that is popular with hobbyists. In each case, officials said, the population has been increased through a program of captive breeding or habitat protection. The proposal also mentioned the Asian elephant, found in India, Southeast Asia, and China, which is in demand by zoos and circuses in the United States because captive breeding domestically, quote, has not been very successful. Quote, we're talking about a very limited application, particularly to start with, to see if it encourages conservation, said Kenneth B. Stansel, Assistant Director for International Affairs at the Fish and Wildlife Service. I can't imagine we would have more than a few if we actually go forward. So the story goes on from there, but love to get your thoughts. Sounds like a perfectly awful idea to me in all kinds of ways, but that's often the case with the folks in the Bush administration. Look no further than much more locally, the snowmobiles, Yellowstone, and let them rip, boys, let them rip. Now, on a sad note, Also, last week in Animal News, Timothy Treadwell was found killed by one of the bears, one or more of the grizzly bears that for many, many years now, last 10, 12, 13 years, that he had been kind of living with in the wilds of Alaska. And you might know him from a really cool book called Among Grizzlies. Really documenting his experiences trying to live with and bond with the grizzlies in Alaska. And I was on Letterman once or twice at least, and, had a high profile elsewhere. So, was repeatedly, warned that as he got, sort of more comfortable and confident with these bears, he moved ever closer, I think. And I think his most recent campsite was right along a bear trail. So, I guess a week ago today, they discovered his body and the body of his girlfriend that had been, mauled to death by one of those grizzlies. So, very sorry to see that. And lastly, sort of overlapping and getting back to something Serena was touching on earlier. As for Roy of Siegfried and Roy, I guess he is more than holding his own. Seems to be inching towards recovery. Meanwhile, the group People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, held a rally Saturday outside the Mirage Hotel Casino to urge entertainers Siegfried and Roy to retire their felines after Roy Horner was nearly killed by a tiger during a performance. Carrying signs reading, "The Strip is no place for tigers," and "Big Cats, Big Danger," about two dozen demonstrators gathered near the entrance to the resort's large Siegfried and Roy marquee. The group also held placards displaying well-wishing messages for Horn, who remained hospitalized in critical condition Saturday. He was recovering from massive blood loss, two surgeries, and a stroke after the October 3rd incident. "It's not against Horn," said Nancy Coleman of Las Vegas. "It's against animals being used for entertainment, for profit." But Barbara Pleaselack, a 58-year-old tourist from New Hampshire, said the protest was inappropriate. "Roy is in the hospital fighting for his life. They care about these animals more than anybody. And so, again, your thoughts on that, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And on a related note, one of the next few shows here at Talking Animals, we're going to have Dan Matthews, kind of the, one of the, I guess probably the number two cheese at PETA. There's Ingrid, the founder of the organization, but Dan's been there better part of 20 years and kind of head of all their media and stuff. And when you see kind of high-profile celebrity PETA stuff, Pamela Anderson and others, you usually see Dan arm in arm or nearby. And also another reason I wanted to speak with him is he's an Orange County native. So I want to talk to him all about PETA and kind of what's going on and how they're doing, how they're viewed, and against the backdrop of an animal rights conference earlier, and all kinds of other things. So that's coming up in the next two or three weeks' time here on Talking Animals. But right now, I think it's time to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always a piece of animal-oriented stand-up. This is a very short vintage piece from Jonathan Winters. It's called Gorilla, drafted in the Marine Corps on KUCI.
What do you think about hippies?
What do I think about hippies? I really don't know. But I think the kids have got some exciting music going for them today. I kind of dig that scene. Dancing, you know, 10 to 15 feet apart bothers me. I like to hold on.
All right, so that might not be... this is so vintage that it's a little hard to tell where things begin and end, but I think this is going to be closer to what we're looking for here.
Could you do a sergeant in the Marine Corps that is interviewing a gorilla that has been drafted by mistake?
Sergeant in the Marine Corps that's interviewing a gorilla that's been drafted by mistake. All right, you people. I want you to fall in right now. I'll take a rundown of some of these names here. Here's a guy, I guess, is trying to be some kind of clown. He just put down gorilla. That's you, fella? I made a terrible mistake. You don't have to go to the rifle range today. But I would shave.
All right, you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was the Jonathan Winters with his piece Gorilla, drafted into the Marine Corps from, from 69, I think it is. Stuff and Nonsense, his album. Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals, maybe even a signature feature of Talking Animals. If you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature on the Comedy Corner, we'd really, really welcome that input. Please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And meanwhile, I need to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. And earlier in the show, I mentioned a bit about this week's guest on Talking Animals, Corrine Cutler, who's the president of Bunny Love, a rabbit welfare organization. Well, that's one way to describe it, but Corrine and Bunny Love do all kinds of wonderful things, and it's no doubt best to have her describe them. So in a conversation recorded last week, here's Corrine Cutler from Bunny Love on Talking Animals on KUCI. Okay, joining us today on Talking Animals is Corrine Cutler from Bunny Love. Hi, Corrine.
Hi, Duncan.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. And, of course, we want to get into the whole subject of your new digs and the open house in a moment or two. But first, maybe you could just sort of tell us a little bit about the history of Bunny Love.
Well, Bunny Love started really about 12 years ago when a stray rabbit kind of wandered into my life.
Okay.
And
how so? I mean, like, literally in your...
He literally just wandered up. Rabbits have a way of finding their own home sometimes. and they just show up where they have decided they're going to live.
Okay.
And that's what he did. And I had no idea how to take care of him, and I couldn't really find any information out there. So I just jumped in both feet first and just started researching everything I could and going to vet conferences. And I found that the resources that were required to properly care for a rabbit were not readily available.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to create this service to help other people who had rabbits and wanted to do right by them.
And sorry, how long ago was this, Corrine?
Bunny, my little bunny love, he wandered in maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
Okay. And then it sort of evolved.
Yeah, we started Bunny Love about 8 years ago.
I see. And was it at one time a part of any other organization? I have some sort of vague...
I started as an educator and fosterer for House Rabbit Society, which is a national rabbit welfare group, and volunteered for them for many years as a chapter manager and educator and fosterer. And then we decided to consolidate our efforts purely on Bunny Love Rabbit Resource Center.
I see. I got you. And it's sort of in the short version of the story. What exactly is Bunny Love, and what does it do?
Well, primarily what we do is offer education.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbit care can be a little bit challenging. Our rabbits all live indoors with us as companions.
Okay.
And sometimes that transition for people to learn to live with a bunny is a little bit challenging. So we try and help people get through all of those challenges, and educate people about proper health.
I'm going to guess you also have a dog living with you.
I have a couple dogs, a bird.
Okay, cool.
We also provide boarding and grooming services. We give workshops and teach people how to groom their rabbits.
Mm.
We send out newsletters and teach people, you know, how to care for them and where they can find the resources that they need.
Sure.
Our biggest feature is bunny bonding.
And what's that?
Bunny bonding is... rabbits are very passionate and very opinionated, and either they really like each other or they really dislike each other.
Okay.
So if they dislike each other, it can be dangerous for them. And what we do is people will bring us their single companion rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be spayed or neutered first, of course.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of foster rabbits who I know very well, and my specialty is sensing who might get along with whom, and then we do a safe introduction under controlled, neutral circumstances, and we help them become friends so that they can enjoy the benefit of bunny companionship.
Wow. Okay. This is something I was going to get into in a moment, but let's delve further into it now. So, first of all, and maybe it's a matter of mostly intuition, but what if you sort of have a knack, it sounds like, for determining what rabbits are going to get along? What are you looking for? I mean, what are some signs?
It's interesting. Each rabbit carries their own position within the herd.
Okay.
And when you meet the rabbit, you can get a sense of what role they would carry in that group dynamic.
Hmm.
And I've done about 1,600 bunny bondings.
Wow.
And I don't know, maybe it is intuitive.
I think
I've gotten a lot better over the last 8 years at picking the right two rabbits or the right four rabbits or whatever right from the start. And then the rest of it is understanding their body language and being able to detect the issues and dynamics between them so that I can either help them work through the initial stages of introduction so that they can be lifetime friends, or also sometimes to know that maybe those two don't belong together and try somebody else.
And is it strictly body language and your own intuition, as we've said. But I mean, I know, like, looking at your website, which, by the way, is bunnyloveluv.org, which we want people to go check out, which we'll come back to again later. But you know, I noticed that some of the rabbits that are you know, up for adoption, you know, I think at least one in particular sounded like had obviously some sort of fairly rough or traumatic life prior to that. So I would assume, if you know that, that's one factor going into the bunny bonding. But if you're just meeting a rabbit or two rabbits for the first time, then I guess, is it right to say that you're strictly going on body language, coupled with your own experience and intuition, or are there other cues?
Well, rabbits are quite adaptable. So mm-hmm. even if they've been through hard times, if they are then transitioned into a good environment,
mm-hmm.
They always come around.
Okay.
You know, they're different. They're not like puppy dogs. They don't just jump right into your lap and want to be your best friend.
Uh-huh.
Because they're prey animals, you have to build a trust with them.
Okay.
But as far as the bonding, a lot of it is really understanding the dynamics of the rabbits. Rabbits are matriarchal, and for example, one role is the dominant female of the group.
Mm.
And with that dominant female, you can't put another dominant female.
Sure.
It does work sometimes if one of them is willing to give up that role. But it depends. A lot of people think that you can only put males and females together, or that they have to be the same breed or the same age or the same color. And in 1,600 matches, I've just found that to not be true. Sometimes a 12-pound rabbit and a 2-pound rabbit will be best friends, and the 2-pound rabbit will be in charge.
Hmm, really interesting.
It's really fascinating watching the dynamic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to come back to some more basic stuff in a sec, but sort of on a related note, one of the things that's also an interesting point on the Bunny Love website is, on a very related note, in fact, you know, adopting a second rabbit if a family or folks just have one, and just it sounds like you really encourage that. First of all, what's the basic reason for just having more than one rabbit, just for starters?
Well, it's very important for rabbits to have companionship besides mm-hmm. their humans.
Okay.
We feel so strongly about that we will not adopt out single bunnies.
Really? Wow.
It's very important. They live longer, they're happier, they're healthier, and a lot of the challenges that you might otherwise have are subdued when they have a friend.
Huh.
And it's very important to us to make sure that the rabbits are not just okay together. We want to make sure that it's a true love connection.
Wow.
And that they really adore each other.
So then it sounds like really what I guess I did only just didn't realize till right now is that any sort of adopting through Bunny Love then always is going to require your bunny bonding then, because it sounds like there is no...
Well,
no...
Most people, when they come to us for adoption, they already have at least one rabbit.
Oh, I see. So it's...
Expand their family.
Okay.
But we do also adopt out pairs and trios to homes that previously did not have rabbits.
Right. So if there's no rabbit at all, then they're going to, as part of the Bunny Love requirement, going to sort of need to take at least two.
Right. I really recommend.
But the other thing is, which again is just really interesting, is that the folks that do already have one, that's where again your sort of matchmaking, bunny bonding comes in. So they bring in the rabbit they've had living there, and they say, okay, Corrine, who do you think would go good with our little friend here?
Exactly.
Wow.
And a lot of people are concerned that their original bunny will lose interest in them,
uh-huh.
but it really doesn't happen that way. They're actually just very excited to share their new friend with you.
Huh.
And we also have a lot of people come to us for our bonding services if they have already acquired two or three or four rabbits who don't get along. They bring them to us, and we help them get along.
So, if I'm following you then, so even in a situation where people didn't know enough to have you kind of help with the matchmaking, the bunny bonding to begin with, you're saying there's actually still a way, if there's already three or yes. however many, to sort of foster a better kind of dynamic amongst those?
Absolutely.
Wow. And how do you do that? I mean, that seems...
Well, it's basically the same process. And in fact, a lot of what we do... I've realized over the last 8 years that diet And certain environmental factors have a lot to do with whether or not the rabbits are getting along.
Really?
And sometimes what we will do is give people some recommendations that they can implement into their routine for a few weeks before they bring the rabbits in, and that will help prepare them.
Oh, wow. Really interesting. And what sort of, well, actually, this might come under some basic sort of things about just you know, what are the biggest gaps in knowledge about rabbits that you found just over the years, or misconceptions about having?
Well, I would say there are a few basic things that tend to be the biggest challenges. Rabbits require a diet that's very high in fiber. Very low in protein, and so they need to eat about 6 to 8 times their own size in hay every day.
In hay. Wow. Okay.
And it's important to make sure that it's the right hay, that it's a very high fiber, low protein hay. Most rabbits, I know thousands of rabbits, and most of the rabbits that I see dying are dying from digestive issues, not from infections or cancer or anything else. They're dying from digestive issues.
And because that's a diet problem.
Exactly. The hay usually will take care of most of those things. Proper diet, grooming. Rabbits are constantly cleaning themselves. So if you're not combing their fur out, then as they're shedding, they're going to be ingesting that fur. And the hay pushes that fur out so that their digestive system stays clean. Also, a lot of people don't realize that their rabbits can live indoors. If the rabbits are spayed and neutered, and the hay is placed in the litter box, then the rabbit will be, at least as easy to litter box train as a cat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And some people have tried to have their bunnies indoors and had problems, say, perhaps with chewing. Rabbits will chew the cord, or maybe legs of furniture, things like that. But if you cover your cords with plastic tubing and your rabbit is fixed and has toys and other activities and is eating the proper diet besides the hay, they also require a diet that's low in sugar, and most of the commercial food out there is very high in sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes the bunnies nuts. Oh. And then they destroy all your stuff.
Right, they're just bouncing off the walls like anyone else would be. Yeah.
Especially if they don't have a friend to keep them busy.
Wow.
So we try to educate people about these sorts of things, and it's very rewarding, because within a few months people are calling and telling us that they have a whole new rabbit and everything is wonderful, and sometimes, you know, it was the changes that they made that really made things work.
Sure. Wow. Well, those are some important fundamentals that I think a lot of us wouldn't know. I mean, what are some other sort of basics that, like, a first timer that is thinking about sharing their life with the rabbit would need to know?
Well, one of the most important things is to find a very good rabbit veterinarian.
Okay.
Sometimes, if people have a challenge with their rabbit and they see a vet who isn't rabbit savvy, they'll think that they've hit the end of the line and there's nothing else that they can do. But if they have a vet who is very experienced with rabbits, then they'll be able to resolve the problem. Also, it's important before you get a rabbit to make sure that you're not allergic to hay, because rabbits and hay go together.
That's a crucial, yeah.
I don't know. It's they're wonderful companions, but they are different from cats and dogs.
Yeah, how do they compare with? Because obviously we've heard one of your dog friends in the background, so obviously you have at least dogs and rabbits, and how do they coexist?
Dogs and rabbits, and my dogs and rabbits actually interact together. I have one pit bull mix and one poodle mix.
Wow.
And the pit bull especially is so protective of the bunnies, and they all get along just great. I also have a cockatiel who, I'd say 80% of the day you can find him sitting on one of the rabbits' backs.
Really?
Yeah. He cleans their ears and he grooms their eyes. And if their water bowl gets low, he squawks until I come and fill it up.
Jeez.
That
sounds like quite a sight.
It is pretty amazing. My little rabbit Bunny Love just died in February at almost 14 years old.
Oh, jeez.
And his best friend was a chinchilla.
Really?
And the chinchilla used to sleep on the back of Bunny's shoulders, and it almost looked like Bunny was wearing a soul.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We have a lot of clients who have rabbits and cats together, and rabbits and other animals together. I don't recommend that anybody leave a dog and a rabbit alone together unsupervised.
Oh, yeah.
Especially outside.
Okay.
But rabbits are very affectionate. They have their own language.
Yeah.
And an important thing to remember with understanding bunny behavior is that they are prey animals. So, sometimes things can spook them that you would not normally anticipate, especially with a dog or a cat. Also, rabbits cannot see in front of their faces. They can see to the side and the back and above, but they can't see in front. So a lot of people will walk up to a rabbit and put their hand in front of the rabbit's nose to let the rabbit smell them like you would with a dog.
Mm.
And the rabbit will box or bite or grunt.
So it's spooked.
People can go with a mean rabbit.
Yeah.
Also, if your rabbit lives in a cage and eats nothing but high-sugar food and is not fixed, every time you put your hand in that cage, the rabbit's going to appear to be aggressive.
Wow.
Because they're so territorial.
Sure.
But our rabbits do very well living free in the house. And once you have a relationship with them, you walk in the door and they come running and climbing up your legs just like a dog would.
Wow.
Or you open the refrigerator, and if you turn around, they're in the shelf looking for vegetables.
And similarly, I guess, let's say if you have cats and you introduced rabbits to that kind of household, I mean, does that work, or does that get in yet another almost sort of form of your matchmaking and bunny? Because, I mean, like, at least in our case, there's one cat that's extremely territorial and, fairly unpleasant to any other critters that are,
There are some combinations that are just not going to work.
Yeah,
But we see over and over and over cats and rabbits who snuggle up and take care of each other. Who really get along quite well.
Yeah.
But just like with any two animals of any species, there are just going to be some who don't like each
other. It just
other.
Doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah, and what's what would you say, Corrine? What's the sort of the best part, or of living with a rabbit, or what two or three of the greatest things about living with a rabbit?
Well, besides how darn cute they are.
Yeah, right. It's hard to deny that. Yeah,
they're just so adorable. There's just something so magical about bunnies. They're very delicate and very strong at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so innocent, and when a rabbit loves you and trusts you, you know you must be okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're just wonderful, and some bunnies, if you're sad, they'll just come lay down next to you and try and comfort you. Other bunnies are always playing with toys, and they're all different.
Yeah.
And just seeing all the different personalities and having all the different relationships with them, it really enriches your life.
Wow! And how many rabbits live with you currently?
In my house?
Yeah, or maybe you'd rather not say.
I didn't tell you that because I'm way over the zoning limit.
Okay, all right. Let's just say plenty, I guess.
Plenty.
But,
generally, what I will do is, we have bunnies, of course, who over time may become unadoptable, either health issues. Or maybe they'll get adopted and something will happen and they'll be returned. If the people move out of the country or something like that.
Sure.
Every once in a while there's someone who has behavioral issues that make them a lesser candidate for adoption. So I give those rabbits sanctuary status and I bring them home and they live with me permanently.
I see. And you, in a way you might have touched on this before, but what's the typical lifespan of a rabbit?
If you're lucky, 9 to 13.
Okay. So bunny love really was kind of extraordinary in all kinds
of
ways.
Yeah, he was extraordinary in every way.
Yeah.
He recruited me into this. he was very proud.
Yeah.
I think they're like people as they get older. Anything that might be lurking inside might start to show around 6 or 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
You don't lose bunnies younger than that unless there's a disease process.
Sure.
Or it's care-related.
Yeah.
And maybe around 9, you know, they might start going.
I see. Okay. And on a more upbeat note, so with can you tell us a little bit about sort of just the more specifically about kind of just the foster and adopt programs that Bunny Love runs, and how people could, if they're inclined, could
sure.
get involved with, you know, caring sure. for a, or living with a rabbit?
Let's see. We, a few years ago, we ended up cleaning out a field where bunnies had been dumped. Mm. And at that time, we took in 340 rabbits.
Oh, my goodness.
We have placed all of them over the last couple of years, including about 50 a year that we've taken from local shelters. And right now, we currently have 97 foster rabbits available for adoption.
Wow.
And I'm not sure if this is true, but it seems like they're the cutest and friendliest bunnies we've ever had.
okay.
And basically, people come in and meet the rabbits,
mm-hmm.
Or they can visit and see a portion of them on the website. And, you know, we do just a very short routine interview. We're not crazy. We just need to, you know,
some basics.
Get some basic information
sure.
to make sure that we're putting the right rabbit in the right house.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to bonding the rabbits, we're also trying to make sure that we're, you know, making a perfect match for the human and the rabbit, and also for the rabbit and the environment.
So that's actually a further element of the sort of matchmaking specialty
yeah.
at Bunny Love. Okay.
For example, if you have hardwood floors, I don't want to place a bunny with you who's terrified of slick surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a dog, we want to make sure that we place a bunny with you who's dog friendly.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And then people bring their bunny in.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, they're very comfortable with our facility and with me. And they are secure leaving their bunny with us for a week. And they tell me which rabbits they would like to try first.
Mm.
But ultimately, it's the rabbit's decision.
I see.
The rabbits will always have the final say. And then we keep the bunnies for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the humans can visit. And
sure.
then at the end of the week, they get picked up together. They go home in one carrier. And we work with them for the next 2 weeks to help them gradually transition the rabbits back into the routine that the original rabbit had.
Wow. So that, I mean, really, that's well beyond, I guess, what I initially would have thought about the whole bunny bonding matchmaking. It really sounds like you're not only saying, hey, I think these two go well together, you're virtually ensuring that. I mean,
Pretty much. And
yeah.
if there are problems,
yeah.
you know, sometimes, especially when you bond young rabbits under 9 months, there can be problems in the future, and you know we'll take them back in for a little marriage counseling or
yeah.
whatever. And also, any rabbit that is adopted from us will always have a permanent place with us. So if anything is ever to come up in the future, we will not only take our bunny back, but we will take their friend back as well, so that they don't have to be split up.
Wow! Wow! Very nice. Wow. Well, that's really cool, and it sounds like that's with that kind of approach that the general success rate has got to be very, very high.
It's very good. Even with rabbits who are not adopted from us that people bring to us for bonding,
mm-hmm.
I would say my success rate is at least 99%.
Wow.
You know, we want to make sure that this works for everybody. We want to make sure that the human is comfortable and that they're enjoying their new bunny and that any challenges going on in the home are resolved. You know, it's just important. There pretty much isn't anything that anyone can call us and tell us they're going through that somebody hasn't already come to us with.
Sure, you've experienced, yeah.
So, you know, we're basically just a really good resource
yeah.
for people with rabbits.
Very cool. And, Karine, we just have maybe a minute or so left here, so I really want to also emphasize that there are indeed new digs for
yes.
for Bunny Love, and there's a huge cool open house on Sunday, October 19th
yes.
from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the new digs are 16742 Stagg Street,
yes.
number 104 in Van Nuys. Phone number there is area code 818-988-4488. And sounds like it's going to be a cool, you know, animal communicator, if I'm not mistaken, and games and prizes and a raffle. What are some of the cool things that people could win in the raffle?
Well, we have a two-night stay at the Four Seasons Hotel in Newport Beach.
Very nice.
We have a session with a professional pet photographer.
Cool.
We have a Sony DVD player and some gift certificates for DVDs.
Great.
We have massages at Burke Williams, a microwave from Home Depot.
Very cool.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
And lots of, I guess we should also point out, lots of great vegan food will be available that day.
Lots of great vegan food. Our facility is green, so we don't do anything that hurts any animal in our building.
That's so great.
And we'll have lots of wonderful vegan food.
Cool.
And we will also have a professional pet photographer giving away coupons. And every time somebody uses her services, she donates 20% back to our shelter.
Oh, nice. What a neat arrangement. Wow, cool. All right, so again, that is Sunday, October 19th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's Bunny Love's new, cool new digs in Van Nuys. Again, phone number 818-988-4488. And for that and other reasons, you really want to go to bunnylove.org for their website. So, Corinne Cutler, thank you so much
you.
For joining us today on Talking Animals, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody on the 19th.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, we want to thank again Corinne Cutler for joining us on Talking Animals. Those websites, there's two actually. It's www.bunnylove.org is the primary one, but they also have bunnylove.com, which then you can get various kind of rabbit, everything from books to hutches to food, and basically the proceeds from that go right into bunnylove.org. So it all works out. And again, the open house is this coming Sunday, October 19th, from 11 to 4 at 16742 Stagg Street, unit number 104 in Van Nuys. And any questions about that, you, of course, can check the Bunny Love website, but you can call them as well, area code 818-988-4488. So, I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM. And it's time to proceed to something that's fun now. It's Name That Animal Tune, and remarkably like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related, usually just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title. But occasionally, it's a bit more indirect than that. Either way, like any version of this game, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons. Not least that while the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, at least, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble behind us, but also quickly noting there's always a prize, yes indeed, I did say prize, for the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI. Anyone? 949-824-5824 if you recognize it. It's Name That Animal Tune. And otherwise, I think we've just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that that all the views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I also want to thank our guest, Corinne Cutler. Remember, bunnylove.org and bunnylove.com. And, of course, the open house this coming Sunday in Van Nuys, 11 to 4. I want to thank you for listening, and hope you'll join me next week, again, on Talking Animals, when our scheduled guest is Janie Thompson from Abaco for Animals, an organization in the Bahamas that tends to all kinds of animals, including feeding more than 100 feral cats a day, and they do virtually all of this by boat. So, hope you'll join us for that next Monday at 9 a.m., other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Counterspin, the wonderful syndicated feature, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming like that virtually each weekday from 8 to 9 a.m. and then 9 to 10 a.m. in the morning, and then usually again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon, sometimes even more than that. So again, you want to be sure to check KUCI website, kuci.org, for the schedule. I want to also urge you to check out our nifty new website at talkinganimals.net, www.talkinganimals.net. And please email us with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@aol.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I also host a music show each week on Thursday at 4 p.m., so if you have a chance, please tune into that. Also, please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. And as always, of course, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. This one's by John Hooker, and it's called Crawling King Snake. This is 80.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. We recommend that you catch more blues, the Blues Disease, with Jeff Scott, which starts momentarily here on KUCI, and we'll catch you next time on Talking Animals.
Well, I'm a crawling king snake, and I rule my den. Well, I'm a crawling king snake, and I rule my den. Don't want to run my maid, want to use her for myself. You know you caught me crawling now, baby. Well, when the grass was very high, I'm just gonna keep on crawling now, baby, until the day I die. Because I'm a crawling king snake, and I rule my den. Come on and give me what I want, baby, and I won't crawl no more. You know I'm going away now, baby, but I'll be back for long. When I come to town now, baby, I'll be the same old snake again, cause I'm a crawling king snake. Yes, yes, and I rule my den. Come on and give me what I want, baby, and I won't crawl no more. Yes, I'm crawling now, baby. I'm crawling in front of your door. You got anything I want now, baby? I'm gonna crawl up on your floor, because I'm a crawling king snake, and I rule my day.
Hi, this is Knockout Greg from Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and you're listening to Jeff Scott, infecting you with the blues disease.
Yeah, go. The fool left home. We ain't seen. 1963.